rise for prayer. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, as we start into this Advent season, help us not to lose sight upon thy coming. Your coming is the reason for this season, as well as our focus into the future. You came just as you promised, and you shall also return just as you promised. Help our preparations and activities all to focus upon thee, and to help us prepare for your second Advent, your second coming, when you will take the faithful body and soul with you to experience the joys of heaven for all eternity. It is in your name, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, that we do pray. Amen. Our meditation for here this day is largely based upon that section that we have from Luke 21. Again, I read these words. Now, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. There was once a pastor who had begun his sermon by extending his arms and calling out heavenward, "Dear Lord, without you we are but dust." And he was about to continue when a good little girl, who you could tell was listening, asked her mother, just loud enough so others could hear, "Mom, what is but dust?" Yes, by our very nature, we all are going to die and will eventually turn to dust. God tells us that the wages of sin is death. And since we each have sinned, we shall each return to the dust from which we are called. From the tips of our heads to the bottom of our toes, we shall return to the dust. But that's not the end of the story. If it was, we would have a very sad tale to tell. There would be no point. There would be no happy ending. There would be no real sense to continue with the story at all. If we were all going to simply return to dust and there was no hope for anything after this world, then we could have no real happiness and joy this season. And yet, what did you see when you came in here this morning? There is an excitement that's in the air. There's a great sense of anticipation and joy over what will soon be coming. The faithful people before Jesus' coming had great anticipation for the coming of the Messiah. They looked forward to his coming, and they had no idea when it would be. They knew that they were just to be prepared for his coming. And so they looked forward to that day with total confidence. Eve did not know when the Savior would come, but she believed that God would be true to his word. She believed so strongly in the Lord's promise that she actually thought that her first son was the Lord. Even though Jesus didn't come until much later, she continued to believe in the promise that the Messiah would come to save his people from their sins. And she would teach that to her children and her children's children and the children after them. Noah was a God-fearing man that also believed the Messiah would come. He taught this to his entire family. In spite of the fierce persecution and temptations that were all around them, God saved Noah and his family from the flood. And as soon as they stepped out of the ark, Noah sacrificed animals to God, showing that he had faith in God's promise that a Messiah would come as the sacrifice for all mankind. There are many others in the Old Testament that believed that a Savior would come, and God continued to send his messengers who proclaimed the word that the Savior was still coming. Jeremiah did this in our Old Testament lesson. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." That righteous branch springing up is what we're especially talking about and singing about here today, as we just did. We sing about that promise of the coming Savior found in Jeremiah, as well as in Isaiah 11, which says, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." These continuing promises of God gave more and more details about the coming Messiah who would save his people from their sins. God told them beforehand where he would be born, Bethlehem. He told them where he would come back from, Egypt. Where he would grow up, Nazareth. And how he would pay the price of redemption by shedding his blood upon a tree. You see, each man and woman, boy and girl, since that first fall by Adam and Eve, has had sin. And it was those acts of rebellion against God that would have continued to keep each single person separate from God forever unless there was some way to remove that sin. And that is what God promised to do. He promised that he would send one who would bear their sin and the punishment of their sins, so that instead of experiencing the eternal separation of God that they deserve because of their sins, they could look forward to being reunited with God as he had intended it since the beginning. If someone would come and bear their punishment, they would have hope for future joy and life rather than just the things of this world, which are nothing but dust. Those men and women were called faithful who believed these promises of God and anxiously looked forward to the coming of the Lord in flesh. They looked forward to the fulfillment of the coming Savior, for their salvation depended upon it. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, in which we remember how they had looked so forward to the coming of the Christ child. The word Advent, as I shared with the children, literally means coming. So during these four weeks prior to Christmas, a little over three for us now, we focus our attention and our meditations upon the Lord's coming. It's a season rich in symbols and joyous hymnody when we sing some of those glorious hymns and chants that point to the coming of the Christ child. You noticed that when you entered church here this morning. You saw the Advent wreath here in front of the church. And as you looked at it, did you notice dust sprinkled all around it? No. You noticed the beautiful green evergreen that's been wrapped around that center candle, which points to the everlasting life that we have because Jesus Christ did come and suffered and died in our place to give us real and lasting life in his name. This everlasting life is offered unto all who believe upon Jesus Christ as their own Lord and Savior. For if you believe upon him, your everlasting life has already begun. Red is oftentimes used also either in berries or bows, along with the green, which reminds us of the blood that Jesus Christ shed upon the cross. God has said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus willingly came and shed his own blood upon the cross at Calvary. And through the bloody payment that Jesus paid in full, forgiveness of all sin and everlasting life are offered unto all who trust upon what Jesus did for them there at the cross. You notice these different colored pyramids, along with a beautiful old symbol of the candles, as you see in the front as well as on the cover of your bulletin, which reminds us of the work of the churches in all ages. In the midst of this dark and decaying world that will eventually rot and rust away, there's the bright message of forgiveness and light through the work that Jesus came to do. That's the message of hope and light for a world steeped in darkness and death. And you saw the lighting of that very first Advent candle here this morning, which brings the message of hope. For with the coming of the Messiah, there was hope for forgiveness and therefore life, rather than the dust that would eventually come for all things of this world. They had hope for the coming one. They had hope for the forgiveness of all of our sins. They had hope for the joys of heaven after life here has come to an end. And that message of hope is what we look forward to with the coming of Christ. in this season of Advent, which is sometimes rushed or pushed aside today, we take time to prepare for the coming of the Lord in flesh. Yes, we look forward with preparation and anticipation for the coming of Christmas in a little over 3 weeks' time. But we also have the benefit of knowing that Jesus did come, and that he grew to be a man, and that he lived the perfect life in thought, word, and deed that none of us have been able to do. And that in payment for this perfect life, he was tortured and hung upon a cross. It was there upon that cross that he gave his life as the once and for all sacrifice for all of our sins. This is not just a past historical event, but it has some real ramifications for our present life. Advent, or the coming of the Lord, is not just a one-time occurrence 2,000 years ago that celebrated briefly in preparation for Christmas. Advent, the coming of the Lord, occurred then, and it has continued to occur ever since. We don't just remember Advent today, but we really have Advent, the coming of the Lord, here this morning. Jesus Christ is here. He said that he is here. Wherever two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus has said, whosoever sins you forgive, speaking to his disciples, they are forgiven. And each and every time that the Lord's Supper is offered, Jesus also promised, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Yes, here today, we enjoy a real and true Advent, or coming of God, where he comes and gives the forgiveness of sins unto his people. I know that we don't see everything fully yet. We still look forward to the time when he will return with all the heavenly hosts. There is still a not yet. For the last couple weeks, we have been reminded of that second coming of the Lord. As the last Sundays of the church year wound down, we drew our attention to the last days, those last weeks, days, or even hours before Jesus Christ will return to this globe for that very last and fateful day. God has warned us in the Bible of the signs that point to his return at any moment. The wars and rumors of wars, as we continue to see and hear about in the news. And the earthquakes, just like happened up in Alaska this last Friday. And the famines. Such natural disasters have all accelerated in these past few years. We can easily remember some of the more recent ones that have even hit our own nation. And Jesus reminded us that the changing seasons also serve to remind us that the Lord of creation will return once again. He said in our gospel lesson today, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. So from the falling snow and dropping temperatures that we have experienced, we know what's coming. We can see this by the signs all around us. I remember seeing a little kid's poster a little while back that showed how the different animals prepare for the coming of winter. It showed how the fox grows a heavy coat, the squirrel buries nuts, the geese fly south, and the bear puts on weight in preparation for his hibernation during wintertime. So if the animals know how to prepare for what is coming, shouldn't you and I? We know what's coming. And I'm not talking just about the coming of winter. On that day, the angels will not sing for just a few shepherds, but the whole company of heaven will sing out for all creation to hear. That is why we have been speaking about the future coming these past few weeks, and how it so beautifully brings us into the Advent season when Christ comes in flesh to his people. Until that glorious Advent time, when Christ Jesus gathers together all the faithful and brings them to the joys that he has been preparing, let us prepare for him. By looking beyond the things of this world that are nothing but dust before him. Hark the glad sound, the Savior comes, the Savior promise long. Let every heart prepare a throne, and every voice a song. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep our hearts and our minds and our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's receive our offerings to present into